Here's what I have in my spirit that I don't have in my notes. At some point, you got to push back. When you've just been pushed to the edge and pushed to the edge, and you know it's the enemy, sometimes you got to push back. Willie, would you mind stepping up right here? I know Willie, and I know if we weren't friends, there's only so much of this right here that Willie Carmadale's going to take. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? Right, though? Come on now. Yeah, that's all he can do. I'm in church. That's what I feel in the spiritual realm, though, is that the enemy has been poking you and poking you and poking you through family, through finances, through relationships, through your emotions, through your tiredness, through your exhaustion. And there comes a time when you just need to say, wait a minute, that's enough. Not in your power, not because you have what it takes, but because of the Holy Spirit that is in you, and because you are a child of God. And you can say to the enemy and speak into the spiritual realm and say, enough is enough. You have poked me for your last time. I'm a child of God. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I see your weapon. I see what you're doing, but it's not going to work. That's where somebody is this morning. Pushed to the edge. Pushed down. There's one thing that can happen when you get pushed down, right? That you're already in a good posture. You're on your knees. Some of you feel like you're flat on your back. Roll over. Just get on your knees. Don't worry about getting up. Call on him this morning. He is an available God. He's an available God. He's a God that is here. You are not to continue to be beat up and bullied by the enemy. What does that look like, Pastor? It looks like depression and hopelessness. It looks like fear and anxiety. It looks like loss. Like there's a drain plug that's been pulled and everything just seems to drain away. I don't feel like I'm being filled up. I feel like I'm being drained away. I find myself making decisions that I shouldn't make. I'm turning to places that I shouldn't be turning. I'm thinking things that I shouldn't be thinking. That's an attack of the enemy. And it's okay. It's okay to get enough and say, that's enough. You're not going to poke me in my chest, but one of us going to the hospital of care, but one of us going to the hospital. It's easy to talk big like that. But when you're talking in the spiritual fight, it's not in our strength. I have a big brother. He's bigger than I am. He's stronger than I am. He's not as good looking as I am. But you didn't mess with me when we were boys. My big brother, I was Kenny's little brother. Kenny was big, and you just didn't mess with me. How much more does God have his hand and his eye on you? His eye is on you this morning, and his heart is for you. And he's sitting there, fear. Comes at night. The fear that comes with the dark. The hopelessness that seeps in through the trials. Just rest. I really just want you to rest right now. God wants you to rest. Is there anybody here who's never been in a church service? Is this your first church service? Because this happens. Okay, so all of us have been in church, right? So you have some expectancy from me. Can I ask you just to take that off of me right now? Can I ask you to do that and put it on God? And just say, you know what? Okay, this is different. But why not? Why don't I leave here with something from God today and not something from this man who's just a man after all? And if he's used, it's because of God does it. I'm a man just like you. I'm human just like you are. Let's look to God this morning. It's time for some things to end today. There's an enemy that you have fought with long enough. When God led Moses and the children of Israel across the Red Sea, he said, "Today you will not see this enemy anymore." This enemy. Now you may have some other battles to fight, and they did. And they were going to face some other enemies. But he said, "Today you are done with this enemy." And God drowned them all in the sea. Today, that poke, that attack of the enemy, you need to receive from God as he's called out to us and said, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Is it enough for you?" To receive today, you need to believe God today. A battle to fight, but this enemy, I'm not going to see anymore. God's bringing me into a new place and a new land, a new provision, a new peace, and a new hope. My depressed days are over in Jesus' name. My depressed days are over. For that thing and that enemy, I cried my last tear yesterday. I'm done with that. Amen? Let's get some victory in here today. Let's decide enough is enough. Enough is enough. Get free from pornography. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Get free from fear and anxiety, from a lustful spirit. Get free from pride, self-sufficiency, whatever it is, whatever that enemy is. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You can't do it on your own. You're not going to do it on your own. That's why he said, "Do you want real rest today?" I mean a real rest. You can go to a resort, get by a pool, get you a little drink with an umbrella in it, and be sitting there and not rest one bit. Be just as anguished in your mind and in your spirit. Are you with me? Now for me, it would be, I can get in, it's 40 degrees, I'm up in a tree about 25 feet. There's a big buck out there that I'm wanting to walk under me. It should be a time of peace and rest for me and enjoyment. But if I can be up in that tree and be miserable, Paul, be miserable sitting in my tree stand. You don't know what I'm talking about. Because of where my mind is. So this is where God's taking us this morning. This is how I see he's bringing me into this message this morning, because I want to talk to you on what do you have on your mind this morning? What did you come in here with your mind? What do you have in mind to do? I grew up hearing that. Somebody would say, "Well, you know what? I have a mind to go down there today. I think I have a mind to go down to the bayou. I have a mind to go throw my rod a little bit." Or I have her. "Boy, I have a mind to," you know, and they just stop right there, which is good, but you knew what was on their mind. I have a mind to. We can get in our minds a lot of things that shouldn't be there. I don't know if you realize it or not, but that's where spiritual warfare fights its hardest battles, is right here in our mind. Whoever owns the gate of the mind owns the person. That's why we've turned the gate of our mind over to the Holy Spirit, which goes beyond our thinking and our thought processes, so that we are controlled by the Spirit See, whoever controls the gates in Bible and warfare, whoever controlled the gates of the city controlled the city, because that's how supplies came in and out. That's how they got food. That's how they got water. So if Satan is controlling the gate of our mind, there are things coming in and going out that should not be. So we are to submit to the Spirit. What do you have in mind to do? What is it that you've made up your mind you were going to do? What have you been doing that if some others knew about it, they would say, you're out of your mind. I've been there. I've done that. I'm telling you, I have been out of my mind because I was operating in my thinking and not God's. We can have a lot of information for our mind today. We have more information available to us than we have ever had. We are an information-driven society. It's amazing, the information that I have at my fingertips. Some people will call and ask me things, and I know y'all think I know the Bible real well, but I just know how to Google. So y'all be texting me and calling me, hey, Pastor Keith, where is this scripture? I'm going, oh, let me think. Well, that's Matthew chapter 6. It's all right there. You can be sitting in a restaurant and hear a song playing through the music, and you can go, Siri, what song is this? She says, let me listen to it. And then she will tell you what that song is. Try it next time if you have an iPhone. I don't know what you other people do, but I'm sure there's an app for that. But we have a lot of information. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you accept, everyone say accept. Accept. My words, which is information. If you accept my words and store up my commands. Everybody say store up. That's all I'm going to read this morning, that verse. If you accept my words and store up my commands in you, all right? What do you have a mind to do? Solomon is talking to us about information. We have all this information. We have it all. I mean, I have it at my fingertips. We have more information than we've ever had. If you call information knowledge, society says that knowledge is power. But we all walked in here with a lot of knowledge. So we have smartphones, or we can go to the library, or we can ask somebody. There is a lot of knowledge, and the world tells us that knowledge is power. But how many of you in your spirit this morning feel very powerful? Information is different from wisdom. Knowledge is different from wisdom. We covered this last week. So if we're so much better off because of all of this information and this knowledge, look at this list with me. Then in our society where we are, how are our marriages compared to 100 years ago? With all of this information, do we have great marriages? Has this information helped us? Are still a 50% divorce rate? What about our children? How are our children doing? With all this information, if knowledge is power, then how well are our children doing? Are they whole? How are they doing even in the schools, which is on that list? Can they graduate and get a job with what they're learning, even with a college degree? How are our finances? With everything, with all this knowledge that is available to us, is Americans living debt-free? Is America debt-free? No. Got about $1 trillion in debt right now. You know what that means? That means that's how much we've overspent. Not what we've spent, how much we've overspent. Am I making my point? Is government better off with all of this information? Is the church better off? See, there's a difference between having the information and having wisdom. And we said this last week, that wisdom means I am applying what I know. And James says, listen, you can know a lot and deceive yourself. I don't want you to leave here deceived. I don't want you to leave here still being poked by the enemy, still without peace, without hope, living in fear, living discouraged, living in shame, when you can change your mind this morning. There's a difference between knowing and doing. There's a difference between I can't and I won't. Ooh, that wasn't even in my notes. I don't know who needs to hear that. Wisdom is when we apply knowledge. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to apply. He wants you to be able to walk in this thing and live this thing so that you're not under the feet of the enemy. As a matter of fact, God's word tells us that he is supposed to be under our feet, that we have him defeated. So Solomon's teaching, and he says, now, my son, listen, I want you to accept and store what I'm giving you. So here's what God is saying to you this morning. First of all, God is saying, I want you to accept what I'm saying to you. You say, Pastor Keith, that's easy. Oh, is it really? Because God said, this is a day that the Lord has made. Why don't you rejoice and be glad in it? But we're saying, I can't accept that. I can't accept that. Look at what's going on in my life. It's doing more to conquer through Jesus. I can't accept that. God says, I'm going to work everything out that's happening in your life for your good. And what do we say? I can't accept that. I can't accept that. I'm going through hell. I have pain in my life. Even in psychology, there is this acceptance. And it's just really a truth from God's word. Acceptance means I realize that I can't do anything to change my current situation. I can't change me. I can't change my wife. Just look straight at me, guys. I can't change my wife. I can't change my husband. I can't change my children. I can't change what's going on in their lives. I want to change it, but I can't. So through acceptance, I'm going to realize, and as a Christ follower, acceptance for me is saying, I can't change it, but you can. And here's the deal, Lord. I don't like this, but this is it. Even if you don't change it. See, some of us in here, we're still angry and we're still hurt and we're still bitter because of what he let happen to us when we were 12 years old, or what he let happen in our marriage or our finances, and we've never accepted that he was in control. We've never accepted. Listen to me. Even if you don't change it, Lord, I'm going to accept that you're in control. I'm going to accept your wisdom. I'm going to get your mind on this and not my thinking. Solomon said, my son, accept what I'm saying to you. Accept it. You can't change it. And listen, there's no need in you rebelling against it. Acceptance is when you stop fighting the process. Acceptance is when you stop fighting the process. Let me read you the psychological definition of it. It's recognizing a process or a condition without attempting to change it or protest it. We spend so much of our time, guys, attempting to change something and protesting something that God's got in control right now. And he's saying this morning, listen, that's enough. You've been poked enough. You've lived this way long enough. Would you just accept that you're mine and you're in my hands and I'm in control? And in so doing, get your hands out of it. Take your hands off of it. That's what we call giving it to God. How many of you know I can't give you something? Take it, Paul. Why can't you take it, Paul? Because I won't let it go. Because I won't let it go. Acceptance is when I don't just say I'm giving it to you, God, but I'm going to walk out of here and I'm going to have peace today. I don't have to know the future. You don't have to change it for me. I'm going to love you anyway. And even though I don't, Solomon said, my son, accept what I'm saying to you. Accept it. You can't change it. And listen, there's no need in you rebelling against it. Acceptance is when you stop fighting the process. Acceptance is when you stop fighting the process. Let me read you the psychological definition of it. It's recognizing a process or a condition without attempting to change it or protest it. We spend so much of our time, guys, attempting to change something and protesting something that God's got in control right now. And he's saying this morning, listen, that's enough. You've been poked enough. You've lived this way long enough. Would you just accept that you're mine and you're in my hands and I'm in control? And in so doing, get your hands out of it. Take your hands off of it. That's what we call giving it to God. How many of you know I can't give you something? Take it, Paul. Why can't you take it, Paul? Because I won't let it go. Because I won't let it go. Acceptance is when I don't just say I'm giving it to you, God, but I'm going to walk out of here and I'm going to have peace today. I don't have to know the future. You don't have to change it for me. I'm going to love you anyway. And even though I don't understand it, and I don't know what you're doing, and I don't know why my life is where it is, and I can't get my life where I want it to be, I am going to accept that you are for me and not against me, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to have your peace anyway, because I can't change it, and I'm tired of protesting. I'm tired of being angry about it and complaining about it and cussing and fussing and everything else about it. And God, I'm just accepting that you are who you say you are. You are my God. You live in me, and nothing in this world can separate me from your love. Nothing. He said, accept it and store it. Accept what I'm telling you and store it away. Have you guys seen this little video that's on Facebook? And it's like a squirrel or a chipmunk, and they're eating these seeds. And he just eats them until his cheeks are like blown way out. And then somebody scares him, walks up on him, and before he's leaving, he's getting all these seeds back out. It's the funniest thing. Of course, the caption says, you know, me on my cheat day when I get caught cheating on my diet or whatever. So it's really funny. But boy, he's storing it up. Listen, whatever you store up, whatever you're going to store is what you're going to take out of here with you. So if you're gonna stay selfish and self-reliant, that's what you're gonna walk in. That's what you are going to carry. You are going to carry the weight of your own self-reliance. You are going to carry the weight of selfishness. If you're angry, you're gonna store up anger. You can store up lust. You can store up jealousy. You can store up hate. Whatever you store up is what you're going to walk with. And the Lord saying this morning, would you store my word? Would you store my wisdom and my precepts in you? Accept this and store this so that when you walk here, you're walking with life. You're walking with peace. You're walking with hope. You are carrying something in you that will bring you life. Accept it and store it. I accept this. I have to accept it. I can't grow any younger. I'm growing older. I'd like to change it, but it's not going to change. I have to accept it. I can't grow any younger. I'm going to quote Dabo Swinney from last year, the coach for the national champions, Clemson Tigers. Big deal. Man, I liked what he said last year before the game that they lost to Alabama. Or was it? I don't know. He said, I can't hope for a better yesterday. That's Bible knowledge right there. You can't hope for a better yesterday. You can sure hope. Now, see, we think hope is futile effort. Like, do you want a better tomorrow? I hope so, Pastor Keith. I hope so. Well, I hope so. No, no, no. That's not God hope. Hope is when I place my expectation of something good. Hope is expecting something good. So I am going to put my expectation of something good in Christ. I'm going to put my hope, my expectation of something good in Christ, so that when I walk out of here, I have hope stored up and I have accepted that He is working where I can't see it, and He knows what I need before I ask Him. My son, he said. My son is an intimate term. Solomon said, my son, accept and store up these precepts. Do what I'm about to tell you. Then he's going to go on and he's going to tell you why. He says, my son, you're my son. I'm looking to the future for you. You're my daughter. I'm looking to the future for you. This is intimate for me. I care about this. The reason I'm telling you this, my son, is that I know what you're about to face, and I'm preparing you for it. And if you will accept and store this up, my son, see, it's an intimate thing when God calls you His child. And we're all His sons, His daughters, all of us who have accepted Him and become Christ followers. Everybody on earth is not God's children, okay? We're not all God's children. I know that may sound a little tough, but the Bible says, it's whosoever believes upon the name of Jesus, to them they have the right to be called a child of God. Everybody else is just created in His image, but you don't become His child until you let Him adopt you through faith. Are you with me on that? So He says, my child, which is an intimate. Let me just tell you about intimacy real quick. Three things that it takes to have intimacy in any relationship. First of all, you have to give time to each other. If you're not going to spend time, and can I tell you that is the greatest commodity that you have right now. Money is not your most valuable commodity. Your house, your toys, your job, the most valuable commodity that you have is time. And if you are going to be intimate in any relationship, you have to be willing to give someone your time. This morning, if you want to change the way you think, if you want your mind to change, start giving your time to the one who wants to be intimate with you. That's your Heavenly Father. He wants your time. He doesn't, just like anybody else. Your wife loves that you provide, that you bring home and you work and you do. But you know what she probably loves more than anything else is your time and attention. Your words of affirmation. Things that money can't buy. Intimacy with God. Simple. Take some time with Him. Time to pray, to talk with Him. Time in His Word. Another thing is to have intimacy, you have to have transparency. If we're really going to have an intimate relationship, I can't be wearing a mask all the time. I can't be acting like I'm something I'm not. I can't be unwilling to tell you how I feel. Men in marriages, you got to learn to be transparent. Ladies in marriages, in with our children, there has to be, if there's going to be real intimacy, there has to be transparency. And for some of us, we don't realize that we're not willing to be transparent with God. Our thinking is off. Remember, we're talking about changing our mind, and somehow in our mind, we feel like that we're hiding from God, and we can't, like if I'm really transparent with Him, I'm going to shock Him. Have you ever had that happen? Like, I've told God, well, Lord, you know I did this. And He went, what, Keith, you did what? That's never happened to me. Has it happened to you? He's never said, what, really? I mean, He's never turned around and said, hold on a minute. Calm down, angels. Ease up, heaven's in a panic because Keith was transparent. Guess what? He already knew. He already knows, doesn't He? But He knows if we will be transparent with Him, He is transparent with us. He says, I know the plans I have for you. I want to bless you and I want to prosper you. I want to heal you. I want to give you mercy. The next thing you need in an intimate relationship is submission. Mutual submission. What is mutual submission? It's when I am submitted to you. It basically means I have more of a concern for your welfare than my welfare. I'm going to put your needs above my needs. And in an intimate relationship, when both of us are doing that, how many of you know that works? It's the same thing with God. When I say, Lord, what you want comes before what I want. what you want comes before what I want. Well, has he done, you said mutual submission. Has God done that with us? The Bible says that Jesus laid down. He did not hold on to equality with God, but he humbled himself and took on flesh and became a man and came down to earth, fully God and fully man, and died on the cross, not because of what he needed or what he lacked, but for us. He was looking out for what was best for us to the point that he died for us. Mutual submission. If to be intimate with God, I need to just submit to him and say, God, I'm gonna stop thinking about what I want and what I think is best. And I'm gonna hear what you're saying. I'm going to accept and I'm going to store. And I'm gonna listen to you. I'm gonna understand that knowledge is not power, but wisdom, applying knowledge, is power. God, I want to change the way I think today. You've spoken to me early in the service. Whatever God's saying to you, what do you have a mind to do? Would you stand with me? If the prayer team would come. Before this service, I was talking to Trey, and we were talking about spiritual warfare. We were talking about how things feel on a Sunday sometimes. Do you ever go to your job and you just want to get through and clock out? I can't do that. I can't just come and clock out, clock in and clock out. I have this crazy idea that on any given Sunday, God could change your life. On any given Sunday, a miracle could happen in your life. Trey and I were talking about that before this service, and I was saying, man, I can't help it. I feel there's some kind of attack. There's an attack. When I finish, I'm going to be transparent with you. A moment of intimacy. I went into the office after the first service, and I had in my mind, are y'all listening to this message? I had in my mind to sit there until the next service. That's not what I do. How many of you know that's not what I do? I go out that back door and I come around and I greet you and I love on you because there's life in that. But some attack was telling me, just hide back there and wait till the next service. And the Holy Spirit, I just felt it, and I told Trey, I said, no, I am not going to do that. So I got up and I went around. That doesn't sound like much, does it? But then I think, let me just tell you what happened this morning. I think because of that little thing and that little conversation during praise and worship, God was able to speak to me about your spiritual warfare and just being obedient. Guys, what we're really talking about here, if you haven't got it yet, is obedience. What do you have a mind to do? What do you need to accept? And what do you need to store? And what do you need to let go? And have you heard the word of God this morning? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you say, Pastor Keith, I know. Maybe you're not even used to being in church, but you say, Pastor Keith, I believe the Lord has spoke to me today. And I want to receive what he said. That's all I'm asking you. You'd say, Pastor Keith, I believe the Lord has spoke to me today, and I want to receive what he said. With no one looking around, would you just slip up your hand? If that's you, I want to pray for you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Father, we love you. We know that you have spoken today, and when you speak life, even if you rebuke us, Lord. Even when you discipline us, it's not to take away life, it's to give life. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for that. God, for everyone that raised their hand, may they accept the engrafted, life-giving word that you have spoken to them. And may there be a change in their thinking, Lord. May they accept your words and store them in their heart and walk in it this week. And I pray that for everyone here in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Be healed of the nausea that you're feeling right now in the name of Jesus. Just be healed of that. Let God take over that sickness. God heals. God heals. We have a prayer team here that's here to pray with you and believe with you. And it may be hard for some of you to have someone pray with you because it's just not easy. It just doesn't come natural to you. But if you'll take a step of faith, the Word of God says that when we agree together and we ask God, that He moves powerfully. So in a moment when I dismiss you, I want you to take time to pray. I'm just hesitating because I'm real comfortable with letting God do what He wants to do. I don't want to become uncomfortable. I don't want to feel pressed for time if God has something else He wants to say to you or do in your life. Be sensitive to that. Stop thinking about what has to be done in the next little while. Chances are whatever's bothering you will not matter 100 years from now, but I promise you what God wants to do in your heart and your mind and your life will matter an eternity from now. God is stirring some things right now. He's stirring in this body. The enemy is attacking. The enemy wants to pull you out. Listen to me. The enemy is a master at separation, divide and conquer. If I can get you off out here by yourself, if I can get you hurt, if I can get you wounded, if I can get you busy, if I can get you successful, if I can get you so successful that you forget about God, Satan says, I don't have a problem with that. Hear what the Lord is saying to you today. Hear what the Lord is saying to you today. Let Him change your mind. Walk out of here with a mind of peace, with a changed mind. What is it in your mind to do? What do you have in your mind to do? Whatever it is. When I dismiss you, come and pray about these things. Let someone agree with you. May God keep His hand on you this week. May He give you favor. May He open doors that no man can close. May the peace of God rule in your life. A peace that makes no sense, a peace that goes beyond your situation. I'm telling you, He's real. He's more real than what you can see. Listen to me. Look at Pastor Keith. You have not seen with your eyes, and you have not heard with your ears, and it hasn't even entered into your mind what God has prepared for you. Because you love Him. But here's what you're going to leave with today. You're going to leave with it in your spirit. God, I can't see it. I can't hear it. I don't understand it, but I have it in my spirit. May you leave with a hum in your spirit this morning, and online too. Get a hum of the Holy Spirit in your life that changes your mind and changes your heart, and yes, ultimately, change your circumstance. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night. If you need prayer, please come and get prayer.